Return of the Debt Ceiling. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. As the House returns from a break, the next major drama on Capitol Hill is the debt ceiling. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is planning to lay out his case today for raising that ceiling, but in return, he wants the government to cut spending. He's scheduled to give a speech later this morning at the New York Stock Exchange. We hit the debt limit in January, and the Treasury Department has been scrambling to pay the bills as the ceiling approaches, using what it calls extraordinary measures. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
When announcing his plan to address Wall Street, Kevin McCarthy referenced a speech given by President Ronald Reagan in the 1980s calling for less government spending. McCarthy said he's seeking what he called a responsible debt ceiling increase, which would include budget cuts. There is no doubt that the debt limit must rise. Experts say if it doesn't, the nation risks a potentially catastrophic default on its financial obligations, which could send the world economy into uncharted turmoil. But what is in doubt is whether the fractious Republican majority in the House can agree on how and what to cut from the federal budget in return for raising the limit. Some Republican lawmakers have suggested ideas such as reverting back to government spending levels prior to the pandemic, or tying future government spending increases to inflation. The White House wants Republican lawmakers to coalesce behind a proposal, while also saying that the debt limit should rise without conditions. The Treasury Department says lawmakers probably have until early June before a default. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
There's a fight brewing in Europe over Ukrainian grain. Poland is banning it. Ukraine says, please don't ban it. The EU says Poland can't ban it. Officials from Poland and Ukraine are meeting today to talk about it. The BBC's Adam Easton has more from Warsaw.
An influx of cheap Ukrainian wheat into Poland has caused problems for the Polish government. On the one hand, it wants to continue to support Ukraine, but it also needs to be seen to protect its own farmers, who are protesting against lower grain prices, especially because it relies on their votes to get re-elected in a few months' time. Polish officials insist the ban is an emergency measure, but is legal. The European Commission disagrees. Ukraine wants to re-establish the transit of grains through Poland, and officials from both sides are expected to discuss ways to solve the problem.
That's Adam Easton with our editorial partners at the BBC.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There's something both the Biden and Trump administrations seemingly agree on, bringing jobs back to the U.S. from overseas. The reasoning is pretty straightforward. Made in America is understandably popular among voters, and both administrations have serious concerns relating to China, both economic and national security related. So how have they tried to bring jobs back? Well, it's included tariffs on Chinese imports and subsidies for certain U.S. industries. But is that the right way to go about it? Adam Posen, president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics, says these types of policies can actually be self-defeating. He wrote about that in a piece for Foreign Policy magazine titled America's Zero-Sum Economics Doesn't Add Up. He's with us to talk about it. Hi, Adam.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You basically argue that the emphasis under both the Biden and Trump administrations on bringing manufacturing production home has gone a bit too far. What are some of the policies that particularly trouble you?
First is they very much focus on the American headquartered companies and discriminate against companies even from close allies. And this diminishes competition, this diminishes innovation, I think a second point is because of what it does to the rest of the world. You're basically telling developing countries that they have no choice but to buy from the U.S. You're basically telling middle-income and high-income countries that they want to subsidize too and have a race and divide up the world economy. The third thing I think they're messing up is that they're misunderstanding the nature of the threat from China in the economic sphere. I think China needs to be confronted. The Chinese government needs to be confronted when they're abusing human rights unduly or pressuring their neighbors or directly interfering with U.S. security interests. But the way to do that, unfortunately, is by directly confronting them in the security sphere.
But on the other hand, you know, China defines its national security partly as economic security. You know, it uses state-sponsored industrial espionage. It offers generous subsidies. How should we respond to that, if not through the measures that we're currently taking?
The fact is, of course, they've been stealing technology. It actually doesn't matter as much as people think it does. People have been stealing intellectual property. Part of the U.S. industrial base in the early 19th century was based on intellectual property theft from the U.K. This is the key point. The advantage of technology is not in its production, it's in its use. And the whole point of the Biden and the Trump view is that it's in the production, and this is a fundamental fallacy.
So basically, we don't have to invent a technology in order to benefit economically from it.
Yeah. You know, the huge revolution in the information technology age in the 90s and early 2000s. What it was not that the U.S. had all the right hardware, let alone that we were producing the actual chips. What threw the U.S. ahead was the adoption and adaptation of these technologies throughout the economy. So we have just in our lifetimes a very real example of this kind of difference between production obsession versus adoption.
Adam Posen is president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much.
Great to be on Marketplace.
We've got a whole bunch more from that interview at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.